Chapter 11. Rebellion. The Hunters in the Dark. The 8th Company squad splashed through the sodden wilderness in loose formation, the lockstep of their initial march left long behind. Numitor could see the heat haze shimmering around their backpacks, not from the engagement of the engines, but as a byproduct of their fierce, self-recycling metabolism. It was the only thing that had kept the Ultramarines moving through the Darlithian hex wastes for the last few days. Colnid, with one of his lower legs replaced by an empty prosthesis, was slowing them down. Not by much, for as a youth he had trained long in the mountains of Macragge, but the drag factor was still noticeable. Sicarius, his knee wound aggravated by the long days of marching through uneven terrain, was hiding a slight limp of his own. The first few times Colnid had to stop to rebind his false leg, the delay niggled at the tempers of his brothers, and Sicarius had made a show of being impatient, despite the fact that he was likely glad of the reprieve. Numitor knew better than to mention it. Lately, even the slightest setback or criticism had become like acid upon the nerves. Even Velitan was anxious to be back in the fight, no matter how. Indigo bladegrass waved at shin height, the inch of water at its roots splishing with each footstep. The grass was sharp enough to slash open an unarmored foot or tendon, but it did nothing more than part with a whisper at the Space Marine's passing. Here and there, the three-headed skeleton of a water hydra lay in pieces. Thick scarlet centipedes cracked the bone with iron-hard mandibles to get to the marrow beneath. The carnivorous insects startled at the Space Marine's approach, soundlessly sliding away into the waters. Cato Sicarius kicked a rib cage into a spray of spinning bones, droplets of water shimmering prism-like in the sunlight.
"This is futile," he said to Numitor as the sergeant approached. "Even if this course is true, by the time we reach our destination, the war will be over. Throne's sake, Cato. It has been less than a week. Do you want to go back to Gelbrin and report to Atheus in disgrace?" "At least we would be in the fray," muttered Sicarius, casting a black look towards Colnid. "Instead of slogging through the middle of nowhere at three-quarter pace."
Numitor sighed heavily.
"You want to leave Colnid behind, perhaps?"
Sicarius frowned but did not reply.
"What other option do we really have?" continued Numitor. "If we head back and follow the edges of the hex structures, there is a high chance we will be bombed to death before we even see a recovery craft. Colnid is one of us, and we all agreed on this course back in Gelbrin. So start acting like a leader for once."
Sicarius span around before stepping up chest to chest with Numitor. His face was twisted, deep lines on either side of soured lips.
"Insult me like that again," he growled, "and I will leave you sprawling in the dirt."
"Perhaps," said Numitor, his tone cold under a mask of ambivalence. "Perhaps not."
Caetorus splashed towards them at a jog, flamers swinging heavily from its strap.
"Problem, sergeants?"
"Yes," said Sicarius. "I need your flamer."
He yanked Caetorus's weapon from him so hard the strap broke. Caetorus recoiled as if he had been struck, but Sicarius had already turned away and triggered the ignition rune. A blue finger of flame hissed from the weapon's pilot valve. Sicarius sent a roaring spear of promethium out to the right, letting it drizzle down 20 paces distant before bringing it closer by a few meters. Numitor stepped back in shock as Sicarius lifted the flamer once more and brought its nozzle around in a wide arc, angling it so the promethium traced a wide horseshoe around their route of advance. Burning fluid gouted in shocking measure, half a canister used up in a matter of seconds. Sicarius completed his horseshoe shape with a last lance of fire to the left, mirroring the spar at the other end.
"What in the Emperor's name are you doing?"
protested Caetorus.
"It's upside down," said Numitor as realization dawned. "But it's the chapter symbol."
He is gambling," said Velitan.
"We are Ultramarines,"
shouted Sicarius, punching a fist on his breastplate as the Primarch symbol burned high around him.
"We apologize to no one. We hide from no one. Let the enemy come. We will fight as we were born to do.
This is risky, murmured Magros. If the Xenos pilot casts see this first...
Numitor scanned the skies, the tiredness suddenly gone from his limbs.
Not if, he said. When? Squad Numitor, we go around this. New heading, wide berth on my lead.
The sergeant ran around the edge of the burning symbol and the wall of billowing smoke that poured up from it, motioning for his men to keep up. Half of Squad Sicarius looked set to follow him. The fire was already spreading. Sicarius slammed the requisition flamer back against Katoris's breastplate and waved his squad on a parallel course. The first aircraft we see had better be ours, Numitor thought. Out in the wilderness, they could not hope to bring another enemy squadron low. There was no way such a conflagration could burn away on such a well-patrolled world without being seen by someone. The wind picked up as the squad circumvented Sicarius's signal fires, blowing the choking black fumes of the Promethium fire westward. After a few minutes, Numitor saw something disturbing the smoke. Not something clear, but more like an absence of form, an unseen obstruction causing the billowing clouds to dissipate. There was definitely something out there, but he could not place it. Not an aircraft, that was for sure. Something low and sleek.
Eyes west, said Numitor. We are being watched.
The first sign of contact was not airborne, nor was it the ghostly shapes in the smoke. A few hours after the fire signal had burned low behind them, a smudge of boxy shapes on the horizon resolved into a trio of Chimera transports. Behind them came a pair of snub-turreted Lehman Russ demolishers, one of which trailed smoke from a wound in its flank. It was a pitiful excuse for an armored column, but to the Eighth it was manna from the Emperor himself.
They will have comms, said Sicarius as he turned to Numitor, eyes alight.
He waved his squad to form up.
Squad, form up on me. This is the turning point. I can feel it.
Numitor nodded, a slow smile spreading across his features as the stress of the last few days ebbed away.
You are lucky as well as headstrong, Cato Sicarius.
The Astra Militarum were the last sight the sergeant had expected to see this far out from the main urban war zones, but they were welcome. It was always strange talking to unaugmented humans. The distance between the Space Marines and the raw ranks of humanity felt far more pronounced when they were standing side by side, and the awe plastered across the face of the common Imperial Guardsman was usually tinged with fear. Their instinctual deference at being presented with mankind's finest guardians sometimes left mortal men on the verge of grovelling. Numitor found it amusing, in a way, and deeply disquieting in another.
At least these were warriors, Numitor told himself. The Astra Militarum vehicles had evidently seen a lot of battle.
Plasma scars had dug deep gouges into their flanks, and here and there a rosette of black soot marked a missile detonation that had failed to breach the front armor. The Command Chimera looked sound enough. It had a long whip aerial bent across its length, and from this distance at least, its comms array seemed intact. There was hope here, if not for requisitioning the patrol entirely, then at least for patching into the Adeptus Astartes Vox network. Once they contacted Captain Atheus, they could rendezvous with air support and escape the attention of the Tau pilot cast altogether. The top hatches of the Chimera clanked open, and Numitor saw a whiskered face peer out at them. He held up an open hand in greeting and tapped the Vox grill of his helmet, a mute indication of their Vox transmission being down. The transport's hatch clanged shut. The Chimera began to veer away, its rear exhaust gouting smoke as it accelerated out of the patrol column. The rearmost transport slewed around to face them instead, turret tracking. One of the Lehman Russ demolishers ground around to face them until Numitor was staring right at its wide black maw.
What in Gilliman's name are they?
Sicarius triggered his jump pack, the turbines roaring as he blasted into a long-range leap. He came down in a staggered run a few meters away from the lead Chimera and stepped in front of it, banging hard on the personnel carrier's scarred hull before peering through the vision slit. Numitor chuckled despite himself. His fellow sergeant's uncompromisingly direct approach was sometimes exactly the right path.
Etiquette was never his strong point, said Velitan, walking up to stand at Numitor's side.
You could say that, replied Numitor. That said, you could say that about a lot of us in the Eighth.
Yield, for we are Adeptus Astartes,
shouted Sicarius, pounding his fist on the Chimera's sloped hull.
Eighth Company of the Ultramarines chapter. There are no hostiles in engagement range. Open up and report.
Come on, said Numitor to Velitan. Let's get over there.
He motioned for the rest of his squad to follow, sending a curt nod towards the remainder of squad Sicarius as well. The Space Marines set off at combat pace, not willing to expend any more pack fuel than necessary. As Numitor covered the last few meters to the armored patrol, the top hatch of the command chimera gave a metallic squeal and opened up completely.
High time, growled Sicarius.
A stressed-looking guardsman wearing sergeant pips, his close-shaven hair grey despite his years, leaned out to look down at the ultramarines. From behind him, a portly middle-aged man with a starched collar peered out.
"What is it?" said the sergeant. "What do you want?"
Sicarius took a step back in shock, nostrils flaring and eyes wide.
"Have a care, soldier," he said, his tone cold and dangerous. Or you'll not need a commissar to punish your insolence. You can point that tank's turret elsewhere.
The sergeant's face paled visibly. He waved frantically to the demolisher, and its main gun pivoted away.
I didn't... There's no need for that, the officer said hurriedly. Shell shock, nothing more. My heartfelt apologies, brother sergeant...
I believe this heroic individual's name is Sergeant Sicarius, said the grey-uniformed officer behind him.
He brushed a speck of spall from the medal on his chest.
And this is Joris Numitor, unless I'm mistaken. If I may interject, I am Delatai Nordga of the 122nd Balagast Castellans.
I'm Sergeant Alect Kinnerston,
said the grey-haired officer.
Acting Sergeant, corrected Nordga.
Balagast, said Numitor. I have not heard of it, but you have heard of us, clearly.
As a Master of Ordnance, I make it a priority to familiarize myself with every frontline war brief I can obtain, said Nordga. Especially concerning Vanguard troops. Cuts down on the likelihood of unfortunate miscommunications. It is common practice for the captains of the Ultramarines to make their rosters known to the higher echelons of the Astra Militarum structure and...
And he talks too much when he's nervous, interrupted Kinnerston.
Evidently, said Numitor.
And why are you not with the rest of your division? Asked Sicarius.
We're on patrol, said Kinnerston.
Behind him, Numitor saw something in Nordga's body language, a slight stiffening of posture.
Patrol? From where?
We're on autonomous pattern, rear-guarding the hex wastes, replied the sergeant. It is a true honor to meet the fabled warriors of Ultramar. Is there any assistance we can offer you?
We need your vox, said Sicarius.
Ah, right, said Kinnerston.
Yours not working, then? Machine spirit angry?
Worse than that, said Velitan from behind Numitor.
They have been scrambled by Xenos Wartek. It is a subject we have learned a great deal about over the last 7 days, 6 hours and 14 minutes.
In truth, it is a relief to finally rejoin the Imperial War Machine, said Numitor. We have to report back if we are to continue our mission at pace.
Well, the Vojanoi here's taken a good few hits, said Kinnerston. Her hailers got the Vox Grems bad. In fact, all of our comms are shot, even Nordger's. We must have been hit by the same Xenotech as you.
Is that so? Said Numitor.
Yes, sir,
said Kinnerston, meeting his gaze unflinchingly.
It is.
Numitor was quietly impressed. Not many humans could look a space marine in the eye for long. These particular Astra Militarum were different from the norm somehow, but he couldn't place it.
You will get out of your vehicle, said Sicarius, and you will allow us to placate its machine spirit so we can contact our brothers.
He stepped forward, hand on the hilt of his Tempest Blade.
Or would you rather I threw you out?
There was a moment of stilted silence. Kynaston's expression darkened, and he ducked back inside the Chimera, pulling Nordger back with him before closing the hatch. The rear door of the transport clanged open. Sergeant Kynaston was the first out, closely followed by two guardsmen, both openly gawping at the Space Marines before them. Then Nordger. The Master of Ordnance helped an elderly woman out of the Chimera, clad in emerald robes and thin to the point of emaciation. Numitor was briefly taken aback when he noticed she had no eyes in her sockets.
Astro Savant Malagrea, she said, turning to face him as he straightened up. No need to stare.
Numitor quickly looked away.
I meant no offence, he said. You have a striking aspect.
Don't mind the hag, sir, said the next guardsman to clamber out of the tank. She's only happy when she's making people feel uncomfortable. You're not fit to talk to them, Victo, said Sergeant Kynaston.
The guardsman looked away, swinging a black-barreled plasma gun around from his back and popping a wad of what smelled like Catachan tobacco into his mouth. Behind the plasma gunner came the last of the squad. A bald man, he wore dome goggles and a gas mask, presumably to protect himself from the backwash of heat from the flamer held protectively to his chest. The strange behaviour of the guardsmen, coupled with the fact that they all had their guns unslung, made Numitor feel even more unsure of the situation. His hand strayed to check his bolt pistol, just for a moment. The other squads were clambering out of their chimeras too, the Astra Militarum troopers forming up in loose groups with las guns at the ready. At least half of them were nursing crippled limbs, and several had plasma burns. Most of them had blood-encrusted bayonets attached to the ends of their rifles, and many openly held grenades. Something wasn't right.
Sicarius, said Numitor under his breath. I think they are... I'm handling it, Numitor, growled Sicarius, motioning Glavius towards the command chimera. Glavius, get on that Vox and raise company command. We have to report back.
Glavius nodded, hastening to the empty personnel carrier. The Space Marine had to disengage and detach his jump pack just to fit inside, and then had to crawl on his hands and knees to get to the Vox in the front.
I told you, said Kynaston. The Vox is out.
Numitor's hand moved slowly to unclip his bolt pistol from its holster.
It has been sabotaged, Sergeant, came Glavius's muffled voice from inside the Chimera. Most of these wires have been cut through.
Sicarius grabbed Kynaston by the throat and slammed him up against the side of the Vodjanoi.
You are deserters, barked Sicarius. I knew it. Do you want to die in disgrace? Don't,
choked Kynaston.
We...
It was the Tau on the ridge, gabbled Nordger. We broke them. We did our duty, didn't we? We turned the tide at Via Meshla by ourselves. Don't we deserve a reprieve? Then they sent in their warsuits. We didn't stand a chance. We're more used to you alive, surely, and...
Silence!
Shouted Sicarius, veins bulging in his forehead.
You are all cowards, traitors to the Emperor's name. You deserve to die, every one of you. Do you really think you could stop us? Do you think 30 lasguns is enough to stop two squads of ultramarines?
Especially, said Numitor, when they've got no ammo clips.
What?
Said Sicarius.
There are no clips in their lasguns.
Kynaston, choking and turning purple as he tried in vain to pry Sicarius's gauntlet from his neck, hammered his heels against the side of the Chimera in a spasmodic tattoo.
God! Wrong! Ammo!
The Astra Militarum sergeant gasped. A bitter, burbling laugh escaped from his blood-flecked lips.
Just let him go, Sicarius, said Numitor. They never intended to fire upon us. These men are beaten already.
They will be,
came the reply.
Severely. And this one, at the very least, will face summary execution from his commissar.
There was a chorus of dissenting grumbles from the masked guardsmen.
Let him go,
said the largest of their number, a scarred brute with skin like boot leather.
You heard, Rytek, said a scrawny, rat-faced private with a missing ear.
He was visibly shaking.
Let the Sarge go, please.
One of the Lehman Russ demolishers reversed, its turret angling. Sicarius gave a barking laugh, long and loud. Numitor did not like its tone one bit.
When Captain Atheus gets wind of this, said Sicarius, you are all for the gallows.
Captain Atheus is dead, said the astro savant Malagrea softly. Slain by a Xenos war leader.
What? You lie!
Malagrea shook her head, her expression solemn. Numitor felt stunned as the news sank in. It had the ring of truth to it. There was something else bothering him too, in the middle distance, a faint but high-pitched whine, like that of an engine. Numitor tapped his fellow sergeant's forearm and put a cupped hand to his ear. Sicarius cocked his head, absently letting Kynaston slump to the ground. The Militarum officers sucked in wheezing gasps of air that turned to whooping lungfuls as his windpipe reopened. Then the Balagast Castellans began to die. A few meters from Kynaston, Victro danced like a puppet and came apart in a shower of blood. Struck twice by glowing bolts of energy, his plasma gun detonated in a blinding flash to throw gobbets of superheated liquid in all directions. Rytek went down a moment after his guts were blown out of his back, his twitching fingers reflexively pulling the pin from the frag grenade he had grabbed from his belt. Bedlam erupted all around, the screams of the burned and the dying filling the dusk air. A dozen of the Astra Militarum were mown down in the space of a few seconds. Rytek's abandoned grenade went off, and another three guardsmen were shredded apart. Numitor took three punching impacts on his pauldron. He darted forward on reflex, another volley of shots almost spinning him over into the blade grass, and regained his balance just as a storm of pulse fire hammered into the side of the Chimera where he had been standing a heartbeat before.
Ambush! From the west!
Sicarius blasted into the air, jump pack roaring. Glavius, Ionzian, and Velitan followed close after him, their own packs spitting blue flame. Almost as soon as they left the shelter of the armoured column, three volleys of pulse bolts converged upon them in a deadly crossfire, sending Ionzian and Velitan careening back to earth in blazes of white flame. Using the Chimera as cover, Numitor leant out into the gloom for a second. The second Chimera in the column was rocking dangerously, taking heavy impacts as its turret tracked around to spit ruby beams of multi-laser fire into the distance.
And from the east! He shouted. We are surrounded!
The sergeant quick scanned the horizon, but saw nothing other than shimmers and flickers of light in the dusk. Part of him burned with a desire to trigger his jump pack and boost out there, to close down the enemy gun lines with bolt pistol and power fist, but some instinct held him back. The Tau were cunning, and judging by the fate of Ionzian and Velitan, they were out there waiting for them to do just that. Three Imperial guardsmen ran around the back of the second Chimera, footsteps splashing, only to be met by a volley of hissing plasma. Glowing wounds burst in their backs as unseen ambushers mowed them down. There was a flicker of light in Numitor's peripheral vision, coming from over a narrow ridge to the west. Sicarius had seen it too. He was already on an intercept course, angling in mid-flight with a flare of jets. Glavius, close on his heels, was punched from the air by two streaming volleys of plasma bolts. Trailing smoke, he corkscrewed to earth, slamming hard into a swathe of razor grass with a splash of brackish water.
Thrown! They're taking us apart! Said Numitor.
Sicarius roared as he hurtled feet first through a curving stream of energy rounds, taking fire but coming in hard nonetheless. He slammed into a hazy shape, lashing out with his sword to catch another and send it sprawling in a blur of malfunctioning holotech. Then he was lost to Numitor's sight behind a low ridge, a strobing flash of energy lighting the gloom in the middle distance.
Tau stealthers, he said over the vox. Squad, get over here!
Hold your position, shouted Numitor. We cannot afford to...
The Command Chimera's engine exploded with a base crump, sending Astra Militarum and Adeptus Astartes flying left and right. Shrapnel pinged from Numitor's legs and hips as he staggered into a marksman's crouch, firing his bolt pistol into the east. He could see no clear target, and bolt ammunition was not to be wasted, but even suppression fire was worth something if they were to gain any sort of control.
We have to get in there and engage, said Magros. We're badly outranged. No, said Numitor. That's exactly what they want us to do. We go out in the open, we will be caught in a crossfire. These Tau know how to bait a trap. Sergeant! We have no choice, shouted Magros. Sicarius is already out there. Cato! Shouted Numitor over the vox. What's going on?
There was no reply.
For throne's sake, cursed the sergeant. Kynaston, get the Vojanoi moving and get that third Chimera rolling behind it. The demolishers on either side. Form a box. Leave room for the rest of us in between. The tanks can take a little more punishment.
Kynaston, his throat still red where Sicarius throttled him, looked incredulous. Numitor stepped towards him, eyes burning with intensity.
Just do it, sergeant! Drive the damn tank yourself if you have to, and maybe the commissariat doesn't need to hear about your little detour. Right, croaked the sergeant, nodding frantically and grabbing his gas-masked comrade's uniform. Dectro, you heard the man, he said, pushing the bald flamer operative in the direction of the third Chimera. Get over to the Vorst and pull her in behind the Vojanoi. Suppressive fire from the turrets until we've nothing left to shoot.
Dectro nodded and span round, the fuel tanks on his back sloshing as he sent a stream of burning fuel arcing across the gap between the first and third Chimeras. He and two of Kynaston's command squad ran, crouching behind the wall of flame, using it as impromptu cover as they made it across the gap to the farthest personnel carrier and relayed Numitor's orders. A hail of enemy fire chased them where the barrier of fire was thinnest, tearing apart the last of the three guard troopers. Numitor winced, sending a bolt shell winging out into the twilight where he estimated the shots had come from, but the dull bang of contact did not follow. One after another, the Astra Militarum tanks ground forward, the Vorst pulling in behind the Vojanoi and the Lehman Rust demolishers on either side. Keeping low, the guardsmen and the ultramarines massed in between. Numitor led his assault marines at the front, forming a wall of ceramite before the flak-armoured guardsmen and moving at a jog. They took enfilading fire through the gaps in the box formation, but each had their pauldrons turned into the firepower, and none of them went down. Behind them came the ragged remains of Kynaston's platoon, Dectro hauling the half-panicked Malagrea in their midst as they moved out west. The turrets of the Chimeras tracked around, spraying thick ruby beams of multi-laser fire into the west. The Lehman Russes vented their wrath, sponson-mounted heavy bolters chugging out firepower brutal enough to blast a battle suit to pieces. Numitor strained to hear the telltale bang of the mass reactive bolts detonating amongst the foe. Still, nothing. It was like fighting ghosts. Sicarius ran headlong through the waterlogged field, chasing the shimmering shapes that flitted just out of reach. Every time one of the things opened fire, a spray of white energy would reveal its location, and Sicarius would sprint towards it, or loose a shot from his plasma pistol, only to find nothing there. He itched to trigger his jump pack, to leap high and come down upon these Xenos insects with crushing violence, but he knew that by doing so, he would be making himself a priority target. A mistake that had already cost Ionzian, Glavius, and Velaton badly. The sergeant could not shake the feeling he was being led further and further away from the rest of the Imperial troops, but he couldn't retreat now. The more frustrated he got, the less it seemed to matter. There was killing to be done, and his blood sang with the need for it. Ahead, one of the Tau stealthers was in plain sight, firing back into the main fray from behind a thicket of razor grass. The alien warsuit had taken a multi-laser hit by the look of its scorched and bulbous torso, its outline rendered visible by its malfunctioning chameleonics. Sicarius grinned fiercely. The warsuit had not seen him. He held his tempest blade out wide, charging in to cut the damn thing in two. Heavy impact struck him from behind, the intense heat of plasma bolts burning across his lower back. More came in from the right, taking his legs away and leaving him crashing mid-sprint to the ground. Yet more hit his arm, blasting the Tempest blade from his hand and sending pain flaring up to his shoulder. The sergeant pushed himself upright, sending a plasma pistol shot towards the visible suit, but it had disappeared entirely. Another volley struck him, sending him skidding through the watery mud of the razorgrass field. The world around him dimmed as pain racked his body, a dozen injuries fighting for his attention at once. Grey fog clouded his vision, threatening to pull him into its nothingness. Then the warsuit that had baited him into the crossfire reappeared, just out of reach. The quad-barreled cannon that formed its right arm was pointed squarely at Sicarius's head.
"Got him!"
said Numitor, pulling Glavius's unconscious form from the muddy grass and propping him against the Vojanoi. They were still under heavy fire, and the demolishers were taking a pounding on either side of them. But the rolling box formation was slowly getting them towards the cover of the ridge ahead, allowing them to recover their wounded along the way.
"Glavius!"
shouted Numitor, slamming him back against the steel hull of the personnel carrier.
"Back on your feet! We have to find Sicarius!"
Numitor was swatted from behind so hard that he slammed into his battle brother, a blinding light taking his vision for a moment. He turned back to see a scene from a demented killer's abattoir. The Loiter had exploded with such shocking force it had cut apart a full half of those Astra Militarum troopers sheltering in its lee. The demolisher itself had been neatly cut in three pieces by some kind of fusion beam that had gone through engine and fuel tank at the same time. The searing lines still glowed white, yellow and red where the Xenos weapon had carved it apart. Lit by the fires of the tank's demise, a dozen guardsmen lay in the shallow water, horrifically wounded. Great wedges of shrapnel pierced faces and necks. Still burning tanker fuel turned men to floundering charcoal effigies, and soldiers bawled like children as they gazed in horrified disbelief at the squirting stumps that had once been their limbs. Malagrea sobbed through a mask of blood, scrawny legs cut in 100 places by a stumble through the razor grass. One pink hand grasped a blackened, bony claw. Numitor felt something watching him. He looked up, his eyes still wide with shock. Hovering beyond the burning wreckage of the tank was a diabolic figure. It was a female Tau, but at that moment it appeared to Numitor's stunned senses more like a demon in the flames. Xenos Camotech made the figure's elegant white battlesuit appear like a mantle of fire, the disc-like drones on either side of her glowing like familiar spirits. A long and decorated scalp lock swayed in the thermals. Her eyes bored into his, the intensity of her contempt obvious despite her inhuman features. Numitor saw red. With a roar, he leapt at the alien warrior, his jump pack firing. She swept away from his bullish charge and up into the skies. Then Malagrea's sobbing turned into a scream, and Numitor fell into blackness. Waves of nameless energy broke across the Eighth, battering their minds as a stormy ocean batters a weak swimmer. The screaming drove hot nails of pain into Numitor's body, his mind, his soul. He felt his ears fill with scalding liquid and his eyeballs swell as hundreds of tiny capillaries burst to fill the whites with blood. The sound was horribly eloquent, conjuring unstoppable visions in Numitor's mind. Shattered panes of stained glass, each depicting a different atrocity, were stabbed hard into his psyche. He heard the screams of a coven of witches trapped in a burning building, of a generation of newborns pushed into the cruel cold of the real world, of a thousand sudden and violent deaths thrust upon the ignorant and the unprepared. They blurred together into a horrifying cacophony, roiling back and forth, robbing all conscious thought and making Numitor's eyes roll back into his head. Drooling froth bubbled from his lips as he saw a vision of a giant spherical room, rank upon rank of psychers strapped to its insides, their souls drained by the impossible sentience at the cavernous chamber's heart. This was the home of true agony, of the most hideous sacrifice. Against this, physical pain seemed a gentle and compassionate friend. Then, in an instant, it was over. Numitor felt as if his brain had been submerged in ice water as consciousness returned, his senses awakening just as his jump pack leap came to an ungraceful end. He landed in a tumbled heap in the mud, but swiftly got back upright with his bolt pistol aimed and ready. His hand, for the first time since his initiation into the Adeptus Astartes, was shaking like that of a palsied old man. The sergeant forced himself to focus. Years of hypnotically reinforced training fell back into place, restoring order to his aching soul, like slabs of thick ferrocrete covering an unquiet grave. Around him was a charnel house. Those already grievously wounded, whether because of old wounds, the one-sided firefight, or the explosion of the Chimera, had been pushed over the threshold. Apart from the crackling pop of a burnt-out Chimera hull and the occasional low groan, the Razorgrass field was silent. Not a single gunshot marred the strange atmosphere of disbelief.
"Sergeant," said Aeordus as he stepped closer to stand in front of Numitor, "are you sound?"
"I am, if the Tau are all dead," said Numitor, "but somehow I doubt that."
"Then you'll want to look at this," said Aeordus, pointing out into the fields.
Numitor frowned, using his lens's magnocular function to scan the periphery of the firefight. At first, he thought Aeordus was pointing out pale rock formations, but then he saw them for what they were. The bodies of Tau stealthers, their bulbous battlesuits slumped, lifeless, as if they had simply fallen dead where they stood. A shiver crept across Numitor's crested scalp as he realized that was exactly what had happened.
"A psychic attack, then, from that one they call the Hag."
Aeordus nodded.
"Mala Greya, her name is. She lost a hand when the Demolisher went up."
"Is she bleeding out?"
"I saw to her. It's ugly, but she'll live."
"Good work. She's good at her job, it seems."
"Used the pain, maybe."
"Yes," said Numitor softly. "All of it. More than we could ever understand. Have Squad Sicarius reported in?"
"Not yet," said Aeordus. "Searching now."
"Do so," said Numitor. "I shall join you."
The two assault marines moved off to join the search. At first, Numitor walked as if in a daze, but as the ordered, concentric circles of their recovery pattern gave him focus, he found his surety returning. There was a strange kind of comfort in the mundanity of repetitive tasks.
"Magros, Duolor," said Numitor, "keep vigil. The rest of us, regroup duty."
Glavius was first to be found, shaking his head in disbelief as he checked the integrity of his stricken battleplate. Four dark scorch marks, each wider than Numitor's hand, surrounded the areas where the Tau cannonades had taken chunks out of his ceramite armor. Yet still the battleplate's integrity held.
"Four more on the back," said Glavius, his tone shaky. "I'm lucky to be alive."
"Praise the machine god," said Numitor dryly. "Next time, don't be so quick to jump into the jaws of a trap." "Tell that to Sicarius." "I will, if I can find him." "Congratulations," said Cato Sicarius as he splashed up through the Razorgrass. "You found him."
The sergeant was a mess. Almost every slab-like plate of his armor bore a deep gouge or a smoking hole. The cobalt blue of the Ultramarine's heraldry blistered and blackened. Layered ceramite was visible where plates had shattered and broken away, and subcutaneous wiring fizzed sparks whenever the sergeant took a limping step.
"Looking worse for wear, Cato," said Numitor. "Not a good idea to go herring off like that against an unseen foe." "I used to know a brave and fearless warrior named Joris Numitor," said Sicarius gruffly. "You would have liked him. I'm not sure he'd have liked you so much." "Well, maybe he's grown a little wiser." "Maybe he's forgotten his Codex Astartes," said Sicarius. When the enemy's reach is long and yours is short, close the distance and wrest victory from his grip, finished Numitor. I know that well enough, but I'm not sure I remember the next part saying, charge like a maddened Grox into the teeth of the enemy guns. And how did your victory resting go, by the way?
I took heavy fire, and they almost killed me, said Sicarius, all trace of levity gone. Then came that scream, my head still ringing fit to burst, but at least the Xenos fared worse.
That they did, said Numitor.
Sicarius strode past one of the fallen Tau, spitting on its corpse. The acid in his saliva burned a hissing hole in the sensor plate that formed the alien warsuit's face. Numitor walked after him, shaking his head in warning when Glavius tried to follow. As the two sergeants walked out of earshot, Numitor spoke once more.
You left half your squad, Cato.
I know, said Sicarius. It was a mistake. I acknowledge that. It won't happen again.
Numitor said nothing in response.
Is Glavius still able to fight? Asked Sicarius. He's in a better state than you, certainly. Tough, that one.
In body, at least.
Who better to teach him independent thought than you? After this, even he will think twice about blindly following your lead.
I imagine so, said Sicarius.
A long silence stretched between the two sergeants as they stared out across the waving razor grass.
I cannot believe Atheus is really dead, said Sicarius.
Numitor gave a tired sigh.
I think Malagrea was telling the truth. You could tell by her demeanor. A sad loss to the chapter.
I know. It's just...
What is it, old friend? Asked Numitor softly.
With him dead, said Sicarius, who will be promoted to captain in his stead?
Numitor stared at his fellow warrior for a second. Then he shook his head in disbelief, turning away from Sicarius and walking back to the rest of his squad.
They had us trapped, trussed, and ready to kill, said Caetorus. When we hunted for them, they faded away. When we stayed put, they hammered us from all sides. When we took to the skies, they caught us in a crossfire. We cannot fight like this.
It does look like they have our measure, agreed Velatan. From a tactical viewpoint, they had us outplanned and outgunned from the start.
Until Malagrea joined the fight, said Numitor, we owe her our thanks.
The wizened old astropath, still clutching the wrist of her blackened and claw-like hand, gave a curt nod of acknowledgement. She had managed to keep a dignified expression since the impromptu gathering began, but Numitor could see she was still in a lot of pain.
Is it possible the Tau have no experience of psychic attack? Numitor asked her. Or are particularly vulnerable to it?
Malagrea inclined her head.
I would not be surprised. These creatures are not soulless as such.
At this, she gave an involuntary shiver, followed by a grimace of pain.
But they have little in the way of spirit. Their will is communal. Individually, it is easy enough to overcome.
Have you knowledge of any other psychers in your battle group? Asked Numitor. It could be that's our best shot at disrupting the Tau war machine before it repels the invasion altogether.
Kynaston and Nordga exchanged a look.
Do we know any psychers? He asks, said Nordga. Haven't you heard the stories about the Balagas Castellans?
Enlighten us, growled Sicarius.
We're the 122nd Balagas Castellans, said Nordga. Between us and the 123rd, we've got more psychers per platoon than any other regiment in the Gelbrin Theatre.
It is true, agreed Malagrea in her thin, quavering voice. We are lucky enough to have not only Primaris Psyker Vicola Herat, but the three-man mind choir sanctioned by the Scholastica Psychana.
Can you get us to them? Said Numitor. Marshal as many as possible and rendezvous within reach.
In theory, yes, said Sergeant Kynaston, his voice still hoarse from Sicarius's violence. Though your friend there seems hell-bent on seeing us lined up in front of a commissar's bolt pistol. After escaping a Tau ambush, I'm not feeling so keen on death by court-martial.
That can wait, and there's still a chance you will redeem yourselves. Kynaston raised an eyebrow. If we can gather as many psykers as possible in one place, continued Numitor, we'll have an advantage that even the Tau have no way of anticipating. We strike a vicious blow, and we take their finest commanders out in one fell swoop. We already know where to find them.
A commendable concept, Sergeant, said Velitan. But these deserters have sabotaged every one of the tank's foxes, not just the one examined by Brother Glavius in order to escape detection. There are other ways to communicate, said Malagrea, brushing her lank hair behind her ears. I specialize in them.
Then get it done, said Numitor. Send a psychic message, gather your kin, and we'll conveniently forget to mention your platoon's lapse of judgment. Won't we, Sergeant Sicarius?
The Talasarian bladesman stared at Numitor for a long time, his expression sour. Then he gave a curt nod.
Then it's agreed, said Numitor, extending a hand clad in ceramite.
Kynaston grasped his forearm as best he could in the warrior's handshake. The Imperial Guardsman's muscled arm seemed like that of a child in comparison to Numitor's.
But if you betray us, Sergeant Kynaston, said Numitor, if you even think of straying from this path.
The Ultramarine sank his fingers into Kynaston's flesh and squeezed hard, pulling him in close enough to smell the sharp tang of human fear.
I will crush you limb by bloody limb, and every one of your men will hang.